All right. Well, so I had a good time tonight. I talked with several of you. I said you've really enjoyed your time here at Vacation Bible School. We're not done tonight. Just beginning. We've got tomorrow night. And tomorrow, we saved the best for last. Tomorrow night will be all kinds of fun. But now is the time we've set aside each night for learning about the Bible and learning about Jesus. We've had some good lessons from the Bible so far. We learned about David and how to have courage and give yourself to God and let yourself be available for God. Then on Monday night, we talked about missing the mark. I mean, just by raising your hand, how many remember that message, missing the mark? And we miss the mark when we sin. Here's God's mark here, and God is perfect and holy. And even when we sin a little bit, we miss the mark. And the last time, you can put your hands down, thank you for that. And last night we talked about you're wanted, dead or alive. And we looked at how the devil wants us dead. The devil only brings death, and he wants us dead through sin. But Jesus Christ wants us alive, and we can be alive in Christ. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about being branded. You come back tomorrow night, a great word from the Lord about the second coming of Christ, about Jesus Christ coming back, and we want to be here for that. How many have ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? Have you ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? Okay, several of you. It was a crazy rivalry back in the mid-1800s. It was two families, two distinct families. One was the Hatfields, one was the McCoys, and over a period of about 30 years, they killed each other. They over 12 of their family members died. They just had a hatred for each other. They was just there was a line drawn in the sand. And if you were a Hatfield, then you hated the McCoys. And if you were a McCoy, then you hated the Hatfields. And like I said, a dozen of their family members were killed by the other family. And you know what started the whole fight? You know what started all that? All those people dying? And you know what the argument was over? A pig, pig. It was over a pig. Somebody thought it was their pig, and one of the families thought it was their pig. A pig pig was what caused all of that. Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
Well, tonight I want to talk to you about two families, just as real as there was a Hatfield family and a McCoy family way back in the 1800s. There are also, listen to me, young people, there's also two families. I know we have over 100 kids here throughout the week. We've had over 100 kids and all different kinds of family. A few of you are related, but most of you aren't. And so I know there's all kinds of families. But listen, all of the families, all of you kids here and all of your families in our community and the whole world can be boiled down to just two families. Listen to me, don't miss this. Two families. God's family and the devil's family. Say that with me. God's family and the devil's family. Everyone that's in the auditorium tonight, as we speak, I'm telling you right now, you're in one of those two families tonight. God's family or the devil's family. And it's about being branded, as we see up there. And we're going to talk about that. The Hatfields and the McCoys were branded. They had a hatred for each other. And if you're in God's family, you have a brand upon you. There's things about you that make you in that family, make you look like you're in that family. And if you're in the Satan's family, there's things about you that you're branded that make you into that family as well. And we're born. Here's the bad news. Remember last time we talked about being born again? Here's the bad news. Everyone is born into Satan's family. We're all born into Satan's family. And because of sin. The Bible says, we talked about last night about David, Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're branded because of sin. Let me tell you something. Have you ever seen a cat? Don't tell me by your lips, but just by raising your hand. Have you ever seen a cow or a calf with a brand on? Have you ever seen a brand on a calf? All right, that's a distinctive mark. I mean, when you brand a calf, and I've branded several calves as well, and it leaves a distinctive mark on there. Okay, you can put your hands down. Listen to me. Sin always leaves its mark on you. Sin will always leave its mark on you. In fact, sin won't just affect you, it'll affect your whole family. And that's just how sin is. Ultimately, the mark of sin is death. But sin can also bring the mark of shame and the mark of regret and the mark of missed opportunities. And our brand in the devil's family, we're branded that way because of sin. We talked about how Adam was the one that initially sinned. And Romans 5:12 says, "For by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so that is we're born into that family of the devil, and we're branded by sin. It represents that we belong to Satan. You say, "Pastor, I don't know about that. I've never really heard that there's two families." Well, don't take my word for it. Let's take Jesus for it. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, He said this, He was looking somebody in the eye, and He said this, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do." Ye are of your father, the devil. And so that's that devil's family that we're told about. But John 1 says this, speaking about Jesus or God, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power," listen to this, "to become the sons of God." But as many as received Him, but as many as received Jesus, to them God gave He power to become the sons of God. So we're born into the devil's family. You're of the devil, and the lust of the Father ye will do. But we can be reborn into God's family. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, first of all, Jesus, you can only get through Jesus. And Jesus died to have your brand, to have your remove the brand of sin. Jesus died that we might have our... go to the next slide, please. Jesus died that we might have our that brand of sin removed. Somebody had to die for our sin, and Jesus chose to die in our place for our sin. He bore the mark of sin in His body. You know, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "For He hath made Him," for God hath made Jesus, listen to this, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." God made Jesus to become sin. He bore that brand of sin for us that we might be forgiven. He removed that bad brand of sin. The Bible says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He, as we just saw on that slide, the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ that was on that cross of Calvary that was shed for your sins and my sins, that was how we can have that brand of sin removed from us that we were born into in the devil's family and come into God's family. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He says He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, meaning with His lashings, with His beatings that He took, with His stripes we are healed. And that's what He suffered for us in Isaiah 53. If we go to the next slide, please. Jesus bled and died that we might have our that brand of sin removed. And your mom or dads may have a special kind of a cleaner that they clean up spills around the house with and those kind of things. But the only agent, if you will, the only cleaner that can clean the brand of our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness of sin." And we had to have Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross. He became sin for us, and He was punished for our sins. You know, in the Old West, sometimes, we don't do this anymore, it's a different time, a different generation. But you know, in the Old West, when somebody like Dusty Jeans, and this was just kind of fun and play, but when someone really stole things in the Old West like Dusty Jeans did, when someone really went out and stole some cattle or did something really bad like that, you know what they did to him? They hung him from a tree. That's what they did back in the old Wild West, for real. Why? For his sins. Because of his sins, he would be hung on a tree. Listen to me, young people. Because of your sin and because of my sin, Jesus Christ was hung on a cross. Because of your sin and my sin, Jesus Christ was hung on a cross. And we see that in the slide up behind us. He wasn't hung on a cross for his sin. He was innocent and perfect and righteous. But he suffered for my sin. You say, how did he suffer? Can I tell you, branding hurts. And I've never been branded, but I've been the one doing a branding on cattle. And they squirm and they moo and they make all kinds of noise and it hurts. And the Lord Jesus Christ was branded, as it were, for your sin and for my sin on the cross. You say, how so? Well, first of all, they caught him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they took him and the night that he was tried wrongly. And the Bible gives us details about how he was tortured for, not for his wrongdoing, but for your wrongdoing and for mine. They pulled out his beard, and I've never really had a beard, but I can only imagine if I had a beard, or maybe some of your dad's grandparents have beards. If don't do this, but if you were just to pull on it just a little bit, don't do this, but if you were to, it would really hurt. Your dad or granddad would say, "You stop, that hurts. Don't do that." Listen to me. They didn't just pull on his a little bit. They pulled his beard out of his face. And I just can't imagine the pain that would have been. And that was just the beginning. They took off his garment. They took off his robe. And for my sin and for your sin, they strapped him up and they gave him 39 lashes. With what's called a cat of nine tails. And that's kind of foreign to us today. We don't really know what that is today. But back then, a cat of nine tails would be this big whip. And on the end of the whip, it would have things like rocks and bones and glass. And 39 times they beat Jesus Christ with that. Not for his sins, but for your sins and for my sins. And then, of course, they took him and they had a false trial, a mock trial. They made up all kinds of trumped up charges. They hit him in the face. They spit on him. They beat him. Then they went and they took him. Of course, they took three large nails and they nailed him to a rough tree, the cross as we call it. They nailed him to that. They took this crown of thorns and they sunk it deep into his skull. And the blood became... sometimes I'll just bump my head on something kind of sharp and corn. I have to kind of rub it and it hurts and I stop for a while. There was no rubbing this pain out. They put a crown of thorns deep into his skull. And why? He was branded for your sin and for my sin. They did all of that. And if you look up here on the screen behind me, you'll see not one but three crosses. Jesus Christ wasn't crucified alone. He wasn't branded for your sin and my sin alone. He was branded for our sin alone, but he was crucified with two other people. The Bible says there was two men on each side of him. They were both thieves. And those thieves, they watched the whole thing and they heard the whole thing about Jesus and they were crucified as well. But listen to me, they weren't crucified for your sins. They were crucified for their own sins. Jesus Christ was the only one that could pay the penalty for your sins. But Jesus Christ is up there on the cross. And if I could have a couple of kids come up here, the Craig boys, why don't you come up here, Kenneth and Terrence. One of you get on one side, one of you get on the other. And Jesus is—he's being tortured on the cross. And Kenneth or Terrence, help me out. This is Terrence. Terrence is over here, and he's like one of the thieves on the cross, and he watched the whole thing. And Terrence, the Bible says of one of those thieves, and forgive me, I'm going to have you be the bad thief, okay, just this time. But the Bible says that that bad thief looked at Jesus, and the Bible says that he railed on Jesus. He mocked Jesus. He cursed at Jesus. We don't know exactly all he said, but he just let Jesus have it. He was there on the cross, and he spewed out all kinds of hate towards Jesus, making fun of him and saying awful, wicked things that ought not to be said. And Terrence over here, representing the other thief. Kenneth over here, representing the other thief. He looked and he rebuked the other thief. And he basically said, "You know what? We deserve to be up here. You just be quiet. We deserve to be up here. This man, he doesn't deserve to be up here." And then you look Jesus in the eye, both of them in extreme pain. Kenneth looked Jesus, or the thief, Kenneth looked Jesus in the eye and said this, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus turned to that thief, like I'm turning to Kenneth now, and said this, surely this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. My point is, even on the cross, two distinct families. One, the family of Satan, hate and death. That thief on the cross went and within a matter of minutes or hours breathed his last and went straight to a devil's hell. The other thief on the cross, representing Kenneth here, within a few minutes or a few hours, breathed his last, and on the authority of Scripture, went to heaven to be with Jesus because he was in God's family. He turned and he trusted in Christ because he was in God's family. Let me ask you tonight, as you two boys go on down, thank you. Let me ask you tonight, young people, which family are you in tonight? Look at me, answer, just answer it in your own mind, your own heart, honestly. Which family are you in? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. How can I know? Everyone is born into Satan's family. I was born into Satan's family because I'm a sinner. But I have to be reborn into God's family. You have to be reborn into God's family. You say, well, how do you do that? Jesus told a man named Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, how do I be born again, Pastor? If you've been coming here for several nights, you've heard me say, maybe this is your first night, so I'll just say it again here real quick. But we get born again. This is, everybody look up here, okay? We get born again by simply, from our heart, realizing that we're a sinner. Realizing that we're in Satan's family and realizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to stay in Satan's family, so that we could be saved. Realize we're a sinner. We admit we're a sinner. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart, to save us of our sins, and to be our Lord and Savior. And we receive Him in that way. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So we receive that gift of eternal life by admitting we're a sinner, believing Jesus Christ died for our sins, and receiving Him as our Savior. Now for several nights I've stood up here and I've kind of led some of those in a prayer. I know some of you have responded in that prayer. I'm going to ask you to take a next kind of step here tonight. If you're here and maybe on a previous night, maybe last night, or maybe tonight, maybe you prayed that prayer and from your heart of hearts, you realized you were a sinner. And you realized Jesus Christ died that cruel death on the cross for your sins and that you received Him as your Savior. If you did that, or if you'd like to do that tonight, look up here just for a moment. I'm going to ask is my wife still here? I'm going to ask her to come up here and begin to play. If you ask Christ to save you, and from your heart of hearts, you don't know everything about the Bible, you still have lots of questions, but you know this, you're a sinner, Jesus Christ came to save you from your sin, and you asked Him to do it. If you did that this week, or if you'd like to do that tonight, if that's your heart of God speaking tonight, saying, you know what, yeah, maybe you just came out here for the games and have fun, and a friend told you, hey, if you come, I'll get a CJ's gift card, and we'll go spend it together. Maybe you came out here for the fun, but perhaps God's speaking to someone here tonight saying, you know what, that's you. That's you that's a sinner. I sent Jesus Christ down the cross for you. I want you to be reborn into my family, into God's family tonight. And if that's your heart, I'm going to ask my wife to begin to play. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. But would you get out, if you've asked God to save you last night or the night before, even Sunday night, if you've asked Christ to save you, you've prayed that prayer along with me, or maybe kind of prayed your own prayer, or if you'd like to do that tonight, no one's looking around, why don't you just kind of slip out of the pew and come up to this altar. You've heard me pray, and maybe you've prayed perhaps afresh, just pray to God and say, I want to be in your family tonight, God. I want to be in your family. I confess I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I want to receive Him as my Savior. If that's you, I know we don't like to move around much, but I'm asking you to come out of your seats here tonight. Be honest with God. Come to this altar right here and just bow down and pray. Would you do that? You come. If you prayed that prayer this week, or if you'd like to pray and ask God to save you tonight, just slip out of your seats and you come. Take that step of faith. That's right. Come on. Several have said you've prayed that prayer. If you haven't prayed that prayer, then just stay right there. That's okay. Just come down here at this altar. If you haven't prayed that prayer this week, then just stay there. That's no problem. But you come down to this altar and we want to have a time of prayer for you. Again, if you haven't prayed, you stay there. But if you have prayed, or if you want to pray tonight, you come. You say, Pastor, I wasn't here before, but I am here tonight. What do I pray? God won't hear my prayer for you, or He'll only hear your prayer. But you could pray something like this. Oh God, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm in the devil's family according to the Bible. And if I stay here, God, I'm going to a devil's hell right with him. But tonight, God, I also realize and believe that Jesus Christ came and He suffered and He died for my sin. I ask Jesus Christ right now to come into my heart and to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live for You, and I want to be in Your family, God. In Jesus' name. All these young people are still up here. Lord, I pray for these young people. So much potential lining this altar here tonight, and so much potential out in the pews. I know many out in the pews have prayed already. Maybe not this week, but prayed at other times. But I pray especially for these young people here at the altar, Lord. Lord, please use them. The devil wants to get a hold of them, and maybe he's lost them out of his family, but he still wants to just ruin them and make them not live for you. Make them disobey their parents and run around and get in trouble with the law and drink and do drugs and disrespect their teachers. God, before they came to know Christ, they couldn't help themselves. They had no power to stop it. But now, those that have prayed that prayer from their heart have the Lord Jesus Christ living in them. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I pray that You'll help them to live for You. I pray that their moms and their dads and their teachers and their other family members around them will see a difference in them. Long, long after VBS here at Midway has come and gone, I pray they'd see a difference in their lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, people up here at the altar, would you just look at me just for a moment? Young people, just you can stand up and just look at me. You can just stand up and look at me, young people here. I don't know all of your hearts, but God does. And I've already heard stories that several of you have made a honest profession of faith and ask God to save you. I want you to know, any of these adults, your teachers, me, the pianist, any of your adult teachers you see, anybody with those show me the love kind of t-shirts, we want to help you. And it's the greatest decision you'll ever make, to trust Christ as your Savior and to live for Him. We want to help you do that. I'm proud of you. This is just the first step. Remember all those years ago, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago when you were born? That was just the beginning, wasn't it? I mean, your life wasn't over. It was just the beginning. Well, when you're reborn, young people, look at me. When you're reborn into God's family, that's just the beginning too. It's the beginning of a wonderful life that God would have for you. You can go on back to your seat. Let's give these young people a hand. If you haven't filled out one of those forms that your teachers has, be sure and do that tonight. And we've had a good time. We're going to dismiss now. We've taken a little bit of extra time, but I think that was needful. We'll dismiss now. Let's let our first and second graders. Why don't you go first? I know you kind of have the first lunch shift, so why don't you go up there first? Work on your verses. Again, the winner tonight will be the one that says the most verses. I guarantee it.
I'm sorry. Is the paper going to say where the carnival is?
Can you put it right in there? What's that, Deacon?
Is the paper going to say where the carnival is?
It will, yeah. And it's right here. It's going to be right in the gym.
Oh.
But it will say that. All right, let's have the third and fourth graders.
Is there going to be a lot of games?
It's a lot of fun games, yeah, a lot of fun games.
Okay.
It's tomorrow.
And the more games you win, you get more.
Let's have our 7th and 8th graders line up right over there. 7th and 8th graders line up.
Today I'm going to be writing.
All right, 5th and 6th, listen real closely to your teachers.
Today I'm going to be writing one of the bands. And
you want to write one of the bands
for? Yeah, and it's yours for something. And are you going to be picking up kids tomorrow?
We kind of like for your mom to bring you out for that. It's kind of a family deal.
Okay.
So let's see if your mom can do that. Be good.
Okay.
We'd love to have Miss Tracy out here.
Okay. It's your van full.
You can. I can take you home tonight. No, we can take you home. That'd be
okay.
Fun.
Okay.
Yep.